Let's start it now. So we're actually going to get into the Gemara today. Just one quick comment from last week, which I found this week. I was doing some stuff in Sefer Yonah, and the Radak, actually, at the very beginning of Sefer Yonah, says that if you read the Sefer carefully, the only Avera which the Sefer mentions that Ninveh was doing was Hamas, actually. So Yonah says that, the Radak says that, yeah, the only Avera which makes Hashem be Mashkiach directly on the sins of Bnei Noach is Hamas. He brings in, you know, Sodom, he brings in the Mabul, and he gives like a Rav Sadia Gaon-oriented approach. He says, because, right, Yeshuva Shel Olam will be at stake, and so therefore, in order to preserve, you know, the development of civilization, Hashem will need to step in to stop Hamas, even if it's not from Bnei Yisrael. But, you know, even the approach that we were dealing with, we were talking about, like, the severity of Gezel, setting aside the technical component, you know, the that point that the Radak makes about Sefer Yonah, I think, is just one that's kind of cool. Okay, so last week we basically gave the Hashkafa introduction, right, the Torah Shebichtav. So we got some of the basic dinim about theft on the table. We got some of the perspectives on theft on the table. And now we'll delve into the Gemara, which should be a challenge and a lot of fun for the rest of the semester and next semester too. So basically, one of the goals of last week was that, like, we're going to delve into a lot of technical legal details about Geneva and Gzela, and just throughout we should have in mind the perspectives that we mentioned last week, because we can kind of risk losing the forest for the trees, if you know what I mean. And so let's, you know, we'll try to make sure not to do that, and every once in a while maybe we'll reference what we did last week. So what I want to do today is we should see the Mishnah, just because we've got to see the Mishnah, and then we'll read through you know, half of the Yamar, I guess, in Samachem and Aleph, and then we'll talk about, you know, one major issue that comes up there, and then we'll save the rest for next time. Does anybody want to read the Mishnah and or the Gemara? Mishnah is totally fine. The Mishnah is on Samach Beis and Beis. And then we'll warp. We should just, you know, we gotta have the Mishnah.
Got it. Oh, you know what song reads?
Oh, I thought
Moshe
was reading.
Yeah, I thought Moshe was reading also. Oh, you're not?
Oh.
Okay, no problem. Fine, I can just do it.
And
someone can read the Gemara. It's more important. So I'll do the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, "Meruba midas tashlumei kefal midas tashlumei bra v'chamisha." Right, there's something extra regarding kefal than from regarding the 4 and 5 times payment. Right, remember the kefal. Every ganav pays kefal, and the 4 or 5 times are paid if a ganav steals and then slaughters or sells a sheep or a cow. So, and that's what the Mishnah says, right? How is kefal greater? Because midas tashlumei kefal lamahagas beim b'davar sheish bo ruachayim, beim b'davar sheim bo ruachayim, right? Kefal applies to anything you steal. Doesn't matter if it's living or dead, or never lived. Midas tashlumei rabba chamisha, ino hagas ela b'shor v'seh bilvad, right? The 4 or 5 times payment only apply to shor and seh, to ox and to sheep. Shenemar, ki yignov ish shor o seh, right, the pasuk says if a person steals a ox and a sheep and he slaughters it or sells it. Okay, just something to keep in mind. I haven't seen anything on this yet, but like the Mishnah when it says meruba midas tashlumei kefal midas tashlumei arba v'chamisha, right? You'd want to see if there's like more to that statement than just this local detail about scope, right? It sounds like the Mishnah is like laying down a klal and then you know, giving like one example. So the next Gemara, like, you know, and Tosos delve into a couple of like pratim, but, you know, kind of wondering like on a qualitative level, you know, do we treat kefal the same way we treat dal v'hei, or are they like fundamentally different chiyuvim? Just, you know, something I'll raise to throw out on the bulletin board to keep in mind. Then the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, right, this is actually a halacha that's important for us today. That if a thief steals from another thief, right, so one ganav steals from you, and then someone else steals from him, So he does not pay the kefal penalty, right? Only the first ganav pays kefal. The second ganav does not pay kefal. The ketzos, we're going to get into it, is going to make a big deal about this this halacha for our gemara. Right, and likewise, if somebody steals a sheep that was stolen by someone else, and then he slaughters or sells it, so he's not going to pay the four or five times payment. Right, and you look at, quickly at Rashi, and Rashi gives you the pasuk where this is derived from. And the pasuk says, "Vigonev mi beisa ish." Right, you pay kefal when it was stolen from the house of the balabais. Right, but if it was stolen, v'lo mi beisa ganav, if it was stolen from the thief, so that does not have the penalty of kefal. Okay, so that's the Mishnah, and then the Gemara goes on for a long time explaining where we learn out all these halachos from the pesukim. And then we pick up on Samachay Amud Aleph with a very refreshing gufa, right? So now the Gemara dives back into regular halach analysis. And does anybody want to read the Gemara? We're going to take the Gemara down until how far did I say to go? You guys remember? Okay, so it's basically most of the Amud, but it's a really short Amud, so it's not really most of the Amud. Yeah, okay, great.
Gufamer of Karen Kenichaganov. So the Kifl is a Shomer of Hamisha Kshasamad of the Dan. Translate also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep the people
interested. So, internal question, Rav says Karen Kenichaganov. Karen is assessed at the time of the Geneva. So the Kifl is a Shomer of Hamisha, but the Tashlumim are assessed Kshasamad of the Dan when you're actually in court.
Right, and this will be our topic for next week.
Alright, my time to Rav, so what's the reasoning? Amar Krah, Kenev B'chaim. The Pasuk says, Kenev B'chaim.
Right, it says those two words.
Which Pasuk?
So it doesn't say Chaim.
I
mean, it doesn't say the word Chaim, but it says Chai, I think, right?
No, it says Chaim. Im hima, I have it on the side here. Im himatse, simatse, biado hagneva, mishor ad chamor ad se. Chayim, Shinayim, Yishalim. Right. So those two, we're dashing those two words, Geneva and Chayim. Which this pasuk was talked about, you know, over here.
Also like two lines
up.
Yeah, that's how we started the Gemara with a gufa.
Yeah.
But we could just jump in here.
Right. Why would it say the word Chayim in the case of Geneva? Chaya Lakaran Kane Shigana. It says Chaya to teach you Karen Kane Shigana.
Right. You literally revive the Karen to the point when it was stolen.
Right.
So you'll pay the Karen penalty based on the time it was stolen, and you'll pay all the penalties based on the time of Ha'amad Bedin. How are we translating Ha'amad Bedin? Excellent. Okay, right, the time of the judgment, the time of the verdict. Let's operate with that definition for now. For next week, we'll see how accurate it is. Okay, great. So that's Rav's position.
Right. So, Rav Sheish is like, to put Sparah into sleeping when he said it.
Yeah, Rav must have been passing out and said this while he was asleep, because it makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm glad we got that right, because that line could have gone the other way. Alright, so you have this animal, it's a weak animal, you kind of fatten it up or feed it so that it appreciates some value by the work that you put into it. You pay the kefal assessed at the time of the gneva, meaning the time that it was.
Right, so it was worth, you know, $100 when I stole it, and thanks to my loving labor, now it's worth, you know, $200.
Right.
So the kefal will go based on the original penalty, which right. Obviously contradicts Rav, right? Because
right.
Rav said the penalty goes based on the new value.
Right, and so essentially the thief gets all like the fattening of it.
Yeah.
Damarle ana patina v'achikalta, because you can say to him, I fattened it, and you're going to collect that fattening. No,
right.
I get it.
Not sure.
Okay. Tashma.
Further problem for Rav, right?
Shmeida v'achisha, the other way around, is fat and it becomes skinny. Misham tishol v'keil v'tishol v'tashol ne'ar v'chamisha ke'en shagana. You pay, the Karen is still assessed at the time of the Geneva. mm-hmm. right? So it's not that you've starved this animal and now you don't have to pay anything for it.
Right.
Here too, in the case of the depreciation, you could also say them malikata kula malikata paga. Okay, once you've stolen it, I don't care what happens afterwards. It's about what you stole, and
right.
you stole a fat animal.
How do we translate it literally?
What's it to me whether you killed him fully, or what's it to me whether you only killed him half?
Yeah, right. When yeah. starving the animal is half killing the animal. Did
right.
you see?
Right. Yeah.
Did you see what Rashi has to say on that line? Mali Katlapalga, do you guys see it? It's a one-liner. So from the time that you started starving it, right?
It's like you
began the shechita process, right? You literally, so Rashi seems to take it literally. Why does Rashi say that? Let's raise that flag now also, right? Rashi seems to take this line very literally. Okay, but again, right, for our purposes right now, we're reading the Gemara just to move forward. So let's keep going. What do you mean?
So when you're damaging the animal,
I guess, but what Rashi here seems to be saying is that at the end you're gonna shacht it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna penalize you 4 or 5 times for your shachting. And we're going to penalize you for your shechting based on its original value, not based on its value when you actually shechted it. So Rashi seems to be explaining very literally that the shechita of this animal actually began back when it was a nice, fat, juicy animal, even though he didn't actually take the knife to it until it was very skinny. Okay. Cool.
Right. Kamar of the Yukar Vizula with the Kamar. When Rob said a statement, he was referring to, fluctuations in price.
Excellent.
Hifi Dami, how so do these fluctuations in price work? Elaim Adim Eker Shabi Zuzel, so Shabi Dal Arba Zuze. So you have a case where at the beginning it was worth 1 zuz, and then at the end it was worth 4 zuz.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Kane Shigano. So you assess the Karen at the time of the 1 zuz, at the time that you stole it. Never mind. It's vague. Karen came to Ganov, but you assessed it at the time of the Ganeva. Okay. Leman Plinga Durab Adarabba. So let's say that this is a contradiction between Rav and Rabba. Why? The Amar Rabba, because Rabba has the case. Haiman de Gazel Chavit de Chamar de Chavera. The person who steals a barrel of wine from his friend. An Iker Shavia Zuza. Well, the So Shavia Arba Zuze. Originally is worth 1, appreciates the 4. The same case as Rav.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tavra Oshtia. He breaks this barrel of wine, or he drinks it.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom Arba. He pays the 4.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bar Mela, it broke on its own, Mishalom Zuza. You only pay 1 zuz, meaning the original payment.
Right.
And
so
you think that this is a contradiction between Rav and Rava, because Rav was saying, Karen came to Ganov. We assume that means the 1 zuz, right, which is like at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But Rava has the case of Tavro Oshtia, and that doesn't go back to the 1, that's actually the 4.
Correct.
It seems that in that case, Rav might still say Karen Kensha got up and therefore 1.
Right, and that's going to be a problem. So now the Gemara answers no, right? Let's save Rav and then work back to Rabba.
Yeah, alright.
So, Amri Kika Amar Rav, right? When did Rav say that Achila Karen Kensha got up, that we make this discrepancy between the Karen payment and the Kefal Dal Hay payments? Dmeyakara Shavya Dalit Uvasov Shavya Zuza. It's specifically where it had been worth a lot of money, and now it's worth only a little bit of money, right? Rabba was talking about it was worth a little bit, then it's worth a lot. Rabba was talking about where it's worth a lot, and now it's only worth a little. So if that's the case, Karen Kein Shaganav, right, you'll have to pay Karen based on its old expensive value. Tashlumi Kefal, Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, Keshas Hama Debedin, right? But the Kefal and the Dalvehe, you will only pay based on its new low value payments. Okay, so at the end of the day, Rav and Rabba do not argue with each other because they're talking about 2 different cases, right? Rav was saying that we base the Karen on its old value when its old value was higher, and Rabba was saying we base the Karen on its new value when the value is now higher than it used to be. Yeah.
Do you know what Rav would say about the Teshuvah? About the rest of it?
We don't know what Rabba would say, but we...
Then what would be the din in the case of the one, four, one to go...
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna talk about this going forward. Rav Chaim is happy to talk about that question because he uses it to prove the Nesivos, as we're gonna see. But yeah, we'll get there. Okay. So yeah.
What's the logic for doing Kishas Hamadav Adin in general?
What is the logic for doing Shas Hamadav Adin in general? So this is gonna be next week's.
Like, if you take my thing...
So the note would come back to the beginning.
Right, correct.
No, but that's an advocate for Shas Hamadav Adin.
No, Moshe's right. That's the case for... If you were starving my animal and then shechted it, you should pay based on the original value, because what do I care if you...
No, I'm just saying, like, well, okay, you steal someone's animal, right, you take terrible care of it, you show up to Din, right, now the animal is worth nothing,
right.
They have to pay you no money because they decided to starve your animal once they stole it. I mean, it's to prevent people basically from taking terrible care of things they stole and therefore not have to pay for it.
Okay.
But that supports
that, right.
Yeah.
Well,
the question is, what
around,
are the flips?
Yeah,
why? What's the logic behind Shas Hamad Bidin?
We have exact kasa for King Shagana, but I don't know why we depart from that. For
yeah, so just to telegraph for next week, two basic questions we're going to want to ask on Rav's halacha. Number one is going to be Rav gave us a pasuk, right? So is Rav saying a chiddush or is Rav saying a svara? That's going to be question one. And question two is, if Rav has a chiddush, which part of Rav's statement was the chiddush? Is Rav's chiddush on Karen Kain Shaganov, or is Rav's chiddush on Kefal Dal Vehei on Shas Hamada B'Din? Those are exactly the questions that we've got to ask. I just didn't want to do that, even though the Gemara, we're dealing with the Gemara a little bit out of order, I wanted to deal with the bottom of the Yamid before the top of the Yamid, just because I feel like it will get us kind of into the halachic world of Gneva and Gzela better. But these are like exactly the questions that we've got to ask as soon as we touch Rav.
But also, the Shas Hamada B'Din is just a non-incentivized stealing for appreciating objects. You wouldn't want to incentivize stealing as a way of investing. But like, you basically say, oh, I think this is going to go up 3 times, then I'll just steal it, and since I have to pay Karen Kane, she got up, right? Even if I have to pay Kefal, I'll still make 1 times on my money and not have to borrow any money. You wouldn't have to pay for...
I suppose the problem is that the Gemara said that, right, if you invested in the cow and you fattened it up, you get to keep the... You get to keep
well,
the fat.
You also have to return the exact object.
Yeah, that would be the problem.
If it's still intact.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you have to return the exact object if it's still intact.
Right. So, but there. Yeah, but if you.
So the man.
I mean, it would be in the case of harvest, the artist, but. Or like something happened
okay,
to it. Or if I'm a mela.
And why is that incentivized?
If I'm a mela. No, because, like, again.
Otherwise, we're from Mars now. Steal and drink it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's first of all, there's a difference between the work that you do on the animal. But let's say you stole a barrel of wine.
Oh,
right?
Maybe yes,
and,
maybe no.
What?
Maybe yes, maybe no. That's another question to ask, right? Does it make any difference if I put in the work myself, or if the cow just flourished beautifully?
Let's just say it would be an ironic thing. Most of them, if you were able to steal like a barrel of wine, it appreciates five times, and you knew that when you stole it. You didn't have any money to invest in the wine. Instead, you just stole it from someone, right? You now have to go back and pay KFL. Right, so you're only paying 2 times of all the wine, but since it's not shots by the amount of a dean, you've already made 3 times of your money.
Mm-hmm. But you don't make any money in the end because you can't actually use it.
What?
You wasn't giving it back, so you're not.
No, but let's say you sell it,
but.
Or let's say you drink it. You've theoretically made three times of your money in utility points rather than dollar value. You've still made it.
You drink, you don't get anything.
Yeah, you get utility. Of drinking a 5 times amount of wine.
Okay.
Right. You get to drink expensive wine.
Also, you have to.
Right. You're gonna pay for every drop that you drink.
Right.
Right.
Also, you have to understand what
the best.
Nobody
can
picture God. You're
but,
not.
What?
Karen
Ben
Shagan,
you're
not.
But that's
Rabba's. You know, let's just. Is it okay if I erase Bruchot Haba'ot up here? We can.
Okay.
Yeah,
just to get the grasp. I thought you were distracted.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know.
She's like the not cool
yesterday.
Yeah, there was a lot of crying going on there.
There was a lot of what?
Crying going on there.
I wasn't crying.
I walked by that room like...
We were laughing so hard that we were crying. That actually happened.
Oh, yeah.
I saw her come out once with, like, tears. I was like,
oh, because
God,
she was laughing
really
so
intense.
Hard. Because Leora was funny.
No.
Yeah, that's why she was crying.
What was I laughing?
And she was crying by yours.
She started laughing so hard.
Track, right? These are the three cases that we've got on the table. So Rav's case, right, kind of make out Rav, is the top one where the value is going down, right? So the Karen, if the value is going down, Achiel le Karen Kinjaganov will bring back the Karen to the old higher value, but Kefel and the other penalties will be based on the new lower value, right? Hence the arrow going down.
Could we understand by
what?
I get that until you explain it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, can you just go?
Because you make a kinyan when you steal something, but only when the verdict happens does. Or you apply for these other things now.
Sorry?
Because when you steal something, then you make a kinyan on it, but
right.
You only apply for the other things when there's a verdict.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be. The Rishon are going to argue exactly that point. Rishon are going to argue when. Yeah. That's. Keep that question.
Can you explain this one more time?
Never mind. Okay. So Rob's case, at first the object was worth a lot of money, and then the value goes down. So Karen, you'll pay the old value, right? And Kefel, you'll pay the new low value. That's the Gemara's Maskana of Rob's position. Rabba was talking about a totally different case. In Rabba's case, it had been worth a lot of money. It had been worth a little bit of money, and now it's going up in value. So how much do you pay for the Karen? So Rabba says it depends on why, right? Moshe's talking about a second meal. Usually you just return the barrel of wine, right? Why don't I, and then you wouldn't have any question to ask. I don't ask how much do I pay for the Karen, I just give him his object back. So we're only talking about how much money do you pay for the Karen if the Karen is gone. So Rabba says it depends on how the Karen was lost. If I broke it on purpose or I drank it, then I've got to pay the Karen based on the new high value, right? That's the middle case here. If the barrel just broke by itself, right? It was a lousy barrel or whatever, and just accidents happen, then I will pay the Karen based on the original cheap value. So those end up being the three cases that the Gemara has talking about.
That little arrow pointing down.
What?
That little arrow pointing down under this part. This is paying
the original. The arrow pointing down is... So, we'll make this.
Then you said the Karen is high, like Kishagana, but Kiel is low, like the.
No, no, that.
Which
is
arrow?
No, it's any. Next to that, it's bar. Can you see where it says it's bar?
Yeah.
That one also.
That little one? I mean, you hit the original price, so that's
yeah.
The mark.
So, the y axis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the y axis is going to be the dollar value, and the x axis. Is the time. Okay, so this is gonna be T1, and that'll be T2. And this will be $1, and this will be $2.
I have no agree.
Hang on, man, these guys come. Awesome, got it.
He meant that little arrow pointing from the words to the arrow. Is that just a reference?
What?
Hmm?
Okay. Any lingering unclarities in the Gemara before we delve into the Rishonim and Achronim on the Gemara? Everyone good? Yeah, sure. And Karen,
could you go over Rabbah 2 again?
What?
Could you go over Rabbah 2 again?
Okay, so Rabbah 2... is the value, it was a low value, the value went up, and then the barrel of wine just broke by itself. So I can't return him the barrel of wine, I will pay him based on the old cheap value, not based on the new expensive value.
So why is the wine going
up? What?
So why is the wine going up then?
Because it went up in value.
The value is going up, but Karen is at the bottom, because that's how much Karen I pay. So it's the one above, I pay the expensive Karen. So now the question becomes, what is Rabbah's Svar? And let's sharpen the question with, I forget, who raised the Kefel question before?
I did.
Okay, so in Rabbah 1, where are we going to put Kefel? Presumably... we're going to put Kefel with Karen, right? We're going to have a relationship.
Presumably we're
going to
have Karen right over here. Right? You're going to have Kefel
over
there. So the question is, what did I do when I broke the wine? Why am I paying based on the new value?
Like, what difference does it make that I broke the barrel instead of that it broke myself? Why am I paying based on the higher value?
Isn't that more interesting, the second case?
What?
Isn't that more interesting, the second case?
What?
Isn't the second case more interesting?
The bottom case?
Yeah.
Not for our purposes, because the question becomes, what did I do to make myself chayev for paying the new value? There are going to be two basic options we have to explain this, and that's going to be the debate between the Ketzos and the Nesivos, and that's going to have massive ramifications for a bunch of things, including how we define theft. What is the nature of theft? That's going to come out of this debate. Right. I stole it at point A. So if I stole it at point A, why am I paying based on point B? I stole it. My chiyuv kicked in when I stole it, right? And that should be it. That should be the end of the story. Why am I paying based on the new value?
It's a separate idea. Because your chiyuv didn't kick in at the moment.
So both of you guys explain, right?
Stole twice.
I would say
there is a din of chazara after you stole it, which is the the aseh
b'lav.
Then there is a separate idea of the kanas of kefel and dal b'hei.
Okay, but we're talking about Karen. We're not talking about a knas, right? Like we learned last year, if we're in Bavel and there are no smuchim in the court, we're still going to make you pay Karen based on the new value.
Oh, that's sense what's happening there. Oh, no, stop.
Yeah. So what? What did I do? So, Moshe, what were you saying?
Because it's not necessarily true that the chiyuv kicked in when you stole it.
Shouldn't it be, though? If I steal it, I have an obligation to...
Depends how you view the justice system. If it's, are you chayav immediately when something happens, or are you chayav when you're indebted in court?
So that usually that question, it's an excellent point. Usually that question comes up by knas. That question usually doesn't come up by compensation. Because if I steal something from you, that creates a debt, right? I steal your computer. I now owe you a computer. So that should happen from the moment I steal it. So what's going on what exactly is happening when you break the barrel? What are we halachically defining you as to make you pay Karen based on its new value? So let's look at Rashi and read Rashi carefully. He's going to give us an answer, and we're going to have to explain it. This is a key Rashi in a couple of ways. So does anybody want to tackle it? Okay, Jake, go for it. Why not? Tavra, right? Everyone has it. It is one. If you have a Gemara with you, then it's five narrow lines down. About a third of the way through the Rashi on the page, if you're on the computer.
All right, Tavra, you broke it. Be on dime.
Mm-hmm.
The sentence, oh, Shtior, you're going to get Mishalm Arba. Yes, and the fourth, which was the final price.
Great.
Uga Mafkir, and Bogantia, the same case, and turn the line. Far as time of the Kolkam, the Eid of Aina, the Shuta, the Mara, time of the Habay Ladura. Now, all the time, Marakaima. That every time that is in the possession of the Marakaima, meaning the person who stole it.
Right? So the Marakama is the Marakama, the original Mara. Meaning...
The Kol Kama, the Itabeina, Rishuta, the entire time that the thief has it,
right,
in the Rishuta of the Marakama, because the thief has to return it.
So as long as the barrel of wine exists, right, even though it's sitting in the backyard of the thief, it belongs to the owner. Why does it belong to the owner? This is a key line. Why does it belong to the owner still? Because he needs to return it, right? The pasuk says, "Veheshev esegzela ashegazal." The Torah puts in a requirement on the thief to return his stolen goods. Rashi seems to be saying, if you read it carefully, were it not for the biblically mandated returning of the object, the object would fully belong to the thief after he stole it. Right, that's what Rashi seems to be saying.
Meaning,
right?
And he would, it wouldn't be just a debt. I mean, like, he couldn't just pay the actual monetary value; he has to get the physical object back.
Right, since the object belongs to the original owner, you have to give the object back. Rashi seems to be saying, if the Torah hadn't imposed the requirement to return the object, then the thief would have acquired it. He would keep it. He'd have to pay you for it. Right, he'd have to compensate you. But it seems like Rashi is saying the only thing that prevents the Gazlan from completely acquiring the object is the fact that he has to give it back. And this is going to touch on a key idea for us throughout the parak, which is, what exactly is the relationship between the victim of theft and the owner of and the thief? Who owns it? To what extent do they own it? What generates the transitions of ownership? Right? Theft is all about one guy who has it, practically, one guy who owns it legally. Who exactly do we call the halachic bailim on the object, right? Who really owns it? So Rashi is telling us that it would have been the ganav completely were it not for the fact that the Torah tells us that he needs to return it. So, okay, let's note that. That's important. Then Rashi says, helkach.
Okay, helkach, reshuta demara, hukra. Therefore, in the possession of the original owner, the object is when it appreciates.
Right, so that whole time we had the arrow going up in value. Whose barrel of wine was going up in value?
The original owner.
Original owner's barrel of wine. Okay.
The hishaita the tavra, the ushtia, who the kagadilla.
Okay.
And when he breaks it or drinks it, that's the second where he steals it. Or that's considered the gzela, whether it's a new gzela or a transfer gzela, but somehow there's a gzela.
For sure, there. Right? We're stamping him as stealing it at point B.
What about the first one?
This is
the first Zela, not the second.
Two
Zela's coordinates. There's just one, which is happening now.
Or
Is there a process
there's,
that is
no, but if
this transfers the violence.
No, but if you look at the Ibar Mamela.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Let's finish the Rashi. Because right, Aval Ibar Mamela.
Aval Ibar Mamela. Amai Nechayevile. What do you owe him? Ahi Shaita Dugzila. Ahi Shaita Zizahu. So you owe him the time that he stole it, and that's going to be the time that the first is. Meaning when you originally stole the object and it was worth one Ziz, that's actually Gzila. But then when you were Tavar Shtia, somehow that's also the new or second Gzila.
Exactly.
There was the original Gzila.
Right. You, for sure.
It works there. I don't think
I certainly stole it at point A. And therefore, right, I'm at least going to have to pay him based on its value at point A. But Rashi is saying that since it never really left the legal ownership of the original guy, when I break the barrel, I am stealing it again.
That's not so clear cut, right?
Why not?
That didn't leave the rishus of the... It depends how you geneva.
Yeah, correct.
Is that not true? Are there other opinions?
That's exactly what the Katsos is going to complain about.
Okay.
Right? The Katsos is going to say that our reading of the Gemara and Rashi's reading of the Gemara it makes no sense. Because the key question is, can I steal something twice? If I stole something, can I steal it again? So we saw the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah said that there's no ein geneva achar ganav, right? If someone steals from a thief, then there's no such that's not considered theft, right? You don't have to pay kefel again. But what about this case where you stole it, and then I still have to return him the barrel of wine, and now I break the barrel of wine, so now he loses that. Rashi calls that theft, and therefore Rashi says you've got to pay based on the new value. If you guys saw the Ritva and the Ravid in Bava Metzia, right? Rashi's quoting this Gemara in Bava Metzia. So there, both of them say this explicitly, right? They both say there in slightly different ways. We don't have time to get into the details right now. More or less, they both say that when you break it, you are stealing it again, right? The Ravid has got this great line that I stole one Zuz at T1, and I stole three Zuz at T2, right? I stole the barrel of wine, and now I'm stealing the appreciation of the barrel of wine, right? So we could analyze their difference between... The Ravid is saying, I stole one Zuz, and now I steal three Zuz. The Ritva and Rashi seem to be saying, I stole it, and now I steal it again. We don't have to get into the details of that now. The bottom line is that all these Rishonim are agreeing, and there are more that I saw later, although they're not as explicit. Everyone's agreeing that this is a new Gzela. And the question is, how can it be a new Gzela if I already stole it? Yeah, Adam, what's up?
Within this, how do you understand Kinyan Yesh?
Let's not worry about that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does Rashi think is the nature of the person? Like, who is he at that time between Gzeil 1 and Gzeil 2?
The thief?
Yeah, is he a Shomer Chinam? What is he?
This gets into the questions of what are the obligations of a thief with the object that he's stolen, and we should talk about that this semester. Yeah.
Can you
say? I just want to point out that part of what's hard about this Masechta is that there are all sorts of related dinim that are going on at the same time. Like, yeah, all these halachas are 100% connected, and we're going to, the only way we can learn them is, one by one, but they're totally interacting simultaneously, and how we understand one and how we understand the others are going to depend on each other as well. So, 100%. We have to learn all of the second half above a comma and then learn a second time, but we're not going to be able to do that.
Can you say that Rabba actually also holds by Karen Kanchagano?
Certainly.
According through Rashi.
Certainly.
Okay.
Right? I mean, the Gemara was complaining that Rav and Rabba seemed to argue with each other,
right,
and then
so
the Gemara said no, right? Karen Ken Shaganav is only the top case where it's going down in value, and we're going to make you pay the old, expensive Karen.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No, but Rabba holds it in the up case. He holds Karen Ken Shaganav in the up case.
You're saying in the bottom scenario.
No, two and one. But Karen Ken Shaganav in one also, it's just that the Geneva happens at the end.
Ah, excellent. Okay, fine. Beautiful. Very cool. Yes. Good. Yeah.
You think that according to both Ritva and the Ravid, the Gazela is happening as second Gazela? Because I think they're the only one who's saying.
There is definitely the Ravid and the Ritva are definitely not saying the same thing. It's 9:30 and we haven't seen Ktos and Asiva, so I want to jump over the details. They both certainly agree that you are stealing at the time where you drink the wine. That they certainly agree on.
As opposed to being my, that's your point.
Correct, exactly.
Wait, doesn't it look like the Rive is saying that there are two different Kvetos up, but you steal one and you steal three?
Yeah, the Rivet is saying that I steal the Karen at point A and I steal the appreciation at point B. The Ritva is saying I steal the object at point A and I steal the object a second time at point B.
Or I even steal it the first time.
No, you certainly do.
To take the credit, you only steal it the first time.
If that's impossible. No. You know, what do you do about the Hanami Shasa Xili? This is also a time of theft. Nah. Not panicked on this one. Sorry. when you take it, you did steal it. Okay, so you do have, right, this one line, you know, all the footnote Rishonim get excited about this, although I don't think they actually should, right, in the Chidushei Haran on source number 3. And the Ran on source number 3, so what word does he use when he describes the breaking or the drinking of the barrel? He doesn't say you stole it, he calls you a mazik, right? I haven't stolen, I have to pay him based on the new value, because now I have damaged him, right? Which is, if you take a step back, like, that's what I did, right? I took an axe to your barrel of wine and I shattered it. So that is Nezek.
That would also answer a question about Kefel. That would change it.
Yeah, so that's going to give us big problems with Kefel, and we'll talk about that in a second when we get to, if we have time to talk about Rav Chaim's Nafkaminas. But just for one second, let's take a step out, right? So the Ketzos is going to get excited about this idea. The Ketzos is going to argue that you are not a thief when you steal it at point B. You are a mazik. And what's the best proof of the fact that you're a mazik? What's the guy actually doing?
Mazik.
Yeah, he's damaging you, right? And any time in halacha, we would define this as hezek, right? He's breaking your stuff. So that's, how can breaking your stuff be called stealing your stuff? That's breaking. That's nezek. That's not theft. So, which, you know, might be what the Ran is saying, and it's certainly what the Ketzos is saying. So the problem is going to be that, like, everyone argues with Ketzos, but the good news is that everyone has the Lambda Shita. So we've got to explain why we can argue with the Ketzos. Like, isn't he right? Isn't this damaging? Why isn't this considered? How could this be considered theft? Furthermore, says the Ketzos, there's no stealing after a thief. And the Ketzos gives a really compelling and logical explanation for that, right? Why is there no Geneva Achar Haganov? So where does the Ketzos say this? Just you should know, the way this case came up is a cool case. There's a Rivash, right? So the Rivash lives in North Africa in the 13... he's living in Africa in the late 13, early 1400s. And anyone who knows American history knows what was going on in North Africa in the 1700s, which was, right, what problem did America have with North Africa in the 1700s? Anyone?
I don't know.
Thomas Jefferson, early 1800s? Pirates, right, the Burberry pirates. So, right, the Mediterranean Sea is like the best place ever to be a pirate, other than the Caribbean Sea. And the Burberry pirates were acting long before Thomas Jefferson went to war with them. They were very active in the time of the Rivash as well. So the Rivash has a case where pirates, you know, they caught a ship and they captured all the Jews and they sold all the Jews into slavery. So, you know, of course, the Jewish community redeems all the Jews. The problem is that, you know, we'll do pidyon shvuyim, but we're not going to buy all your stuff back. So, you know, the Jews are saved, but, like, they lost their stuff. So one Jew had his, he was saved, but his stuff was gone. And then he sees another Jew who, like, has his stuff that he bought from the pirates. So he gets, you know, really upset. And then there's a question of, is this guy who's buying, stealing goods, is he pasul le'edus, or not? So the question becomes, right, if you buy stolen goods, which is legal, can we categorize you as a thief to make you pasul le'edus? So the way we paskin is, the Ramah paskins, no. Even though this guy bought stolen goods, he's still kasher le'edus. Rav Yonasan Ibishitz gets very upset with that because buying, stealing goods and stealing are the same thing. And the Ketzos says no, right? The Ketzos says buying, stealing goods is not theft for the same reason that there's no stealing after a thief, for the same reason that when you break the barrel, you are a mazik, not a thief.
what unites all three of these cases, because he defines stealing as taking the object from the rishus of its owner. That's what stealing is. Stealing is, right, I own the water bottle, Adam walks into my yard, grabs a water bottle from my possession, and puts it into his. So if
that happened.
What?
Tends to happen.
Yeah. If it was coffee, it'd have bigger problems. But if the pirates already stole it, right, then, yeah, what I'm doing, buying stolen goods, is unacceptable, but that's not stealing. Likewise, in Geneva Achar Ganav, if one Ganav stole it, and I steal it from the Ganav, so you're not taking it from the possession of the owner, and the stealing is taking from the possession of the owner. And likewise, the case of Tavra Vashasya, when I break the barrel or drink the wine, I'm not taking the barrel from the possession of the owner. I did that at T1, right? That's when I took the stuff from the possession of the owner. This is T2, so must be that I'm chayev misham nezek and not chayev misham gzela, argues the Ketos. Because it can't be gzela, because I define gzela as steal it, taking from the possession of the original owner.
Can you argue?
With the Ketos?
No, the individual agreement with the Ketos,
yeah.
In Japan,
yeah.
Owner,
yeah.
That according to the like Rashi, for example, of Kala, we saw that the case of the Tavro Shtia was still considered to be stealing again a second time because Rashi's version is that it's still being made for shooting the Mara Kaina.
Excellent.
And then still isn't it for sure, and therefore you'd still be stealing anyways.
Yeah, definitely, depending on how you define taking from his possession. Do I have to like take it from his possession, or is it enough to take it from his legal possession? The Ketos seems to be arguing in favor of point A. If you wanted to say point B, you know.
He's saying Rashi, but you've been Rashi saying that we punish an A, we can't put B in the shooting, that's more common. The wine case is still in this like, location and you're still moving it, and that part of the whole wine scenario that's kind of moving it, but it's still like in the cellar or something.
No, I don't follow you.
Isn't there like a whole element of like the wine barrel, that the barrel already has been left in possession and somebody can kind of take possession of it?
Yeah, that's the question of, we'll see, this is actually good to know. This line is going to come up all the time, right? The Gemara will ask, if a thief steals an object and tries to give it to Hekdesh, can he give it to Hekdesh? Or if the owner tries to give his stolen object to Hekdesh, can he give it to Hekdesh? Right? Neither one of them, one guy legally owns it, the other guy has it. So the Gemara says, neither one can give it to Hekdesh. Zeh she'ena shalo. Vizesh ain't a brishusa, right? The thief can't give it to Hekdesh because it's not his. The owner can't give it to Hekdesh because it's not in his possession. Which shows, seemingly shows, right, that there's some in-between status, right? That neither one of these people anymore is the full owner of the object. One, what?
If the owner can get his hands on it to give it to Hekdesh, wouldn't that mean that it's in his possession again?
Yeah, if he gets it back.
Right, so...
But for now, the fact, in other words, having lost control...
He just practically can't.
Yeah, but practical problems have legal ramifications. The victim of the pirates, right? So his stuff was stolen by the pirates. Does his stuff belong to him anymore? You know, maybe, but like maybe not. The pirates stole it. But what impact does that have? Right? He could like yell to the high heavens, that all belongs to me. But like, you know, you tell that to the guy when he applies for a mortgage. They're not going to be so... You know, well, you know, if you should count for my equity is the fact that I own, you know, $1 million that the pirates stole. The bank's not going to care. So that's exactly part of the question we've got to deal with. But just for now, right? So
what is Rishus meant for Rashi? Like, what's the, what do you think Rishus means? If not, I don't know. Like, what does Rishus mean?
It means it is in his legal ownership. Right?
He still has, like, a shake file.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just looking for the one key line in the Ketos where he like has this most sharply. Yeah, so look at you see I have this the second to last underlined batch here, right? El al karchach. So I'll just read this. The Ketos says El al karchach. Kevin Dekvar Gazle, since he already stole it, Ve'eno Bershuso Denigzal, it's no longer in the possession of the victim, Su Lo Mechayev Mishum Gzela El Batoras Mazik, right? You can no longer be held responsible as a thief going from out from here, you can only be responsible as a damager. And then he talks a little bit more, right? And then skip down. And he goes to pasuk tichsev v'gonev mi beis ha'ish, right? That was the pasuk that Rashi quoted on the Mishnah. You steal from the house of the guy, right? So stealing v'gonev mi beis ha'ish says the Ketos. Oh, stealing means I take it from his house, right? Ukti isa parak meruba. Right, once I am not taking it from his house anymore, I am not a thief, therefore our case I must only be a damager. Which explains a bunch of things. It explains how I'm not stealing, I'm only breaking the barrel. And it's a nice explanation of what Xela is. Xela is taking from the owner. Fine. That's odd kind of success. Problem is that
you just clarify, you think Rishus means like the physical locale of the
in this context, yes. In the Ksosis context, yes.
But if yes. Stole and he was like, he had given over like a shomer, so then he would be high for
sale.
Or the shomer could also follow.
What, say it again?
If you give it to a shomer.
Who's you?
If the owner gives it to a
if
shomer.
If the owner gives it to a shomer.
From the shomer.
Yeah, then he'll be chayv as a thief.
Because he stole it, because the shomer could be the house of like the Nigel.
Sure. No, the house, the shomer is an extension of the owner,
okay.
Right? You're my, you know, authorized, approved, dedicated watchman. You work for me. Yeah. Okay. So how's an Asivas going to argue, right? All these Ashonim we had say that no, when you broke it or you drank the wine, you're not a mazik, you are a thief. How could you be a thief if you already stole it? How could you be a thief if in Gazel Achar Gazan, right? You can't steal from a thief. So the Kso says there's no double stealing. So certainly the Nesivos cannot, and always shown him, can't define stealing as taking from someone's possession. Because as the Kso argued, you can't take from someone's possession twice. Now, right, like you're only saying we could, you know, get down to the details and say, well, you could take and then take from his yard and then take from his bank account. But definitely not the Ketzos' definition of theft is not going to work here. So what does the Nesivos have to say? So, let's see. Just give me 1 second. Let me think how to delve into this. Okay, so first we'll just tip the hand. How does the Nesivos define theft? The Nesivos defines theft as distancing the owner from his object. You could call it, right, harchakas ha-bailim me chaktav. It's part of the thief's, we talked about last week, like the thief's attack on the tzelem elokim of the nigzal, right? His attack on the possessions of the nigzal. So the thief is continuing his attack on the nigzal by furtherly distancing the owner from his stuff, right? That I can 100% do twice. So, you know, at T1, I stole his barrel of wine from his cellar. At T2, I ensured that he will never get his wine back. Right, so ensuring he never gets his wine back is further adding to my theft because it is further distancing him from his object. That is the basic argument that the Nesivos mounts. Okay, and this can explain a bunch of things. One that the Nesivos works on in particular is a critical case in Temura, right? Masachas Temura, one of the more obscure masachtas in Shas, but there's one sugya in Temura which like everyone likes to talk about because it's a non-Temura topic. And that is, what is Temura? Does anyone know what Temura is? Yeah, Adam?
It's when you're machlokas, but theoretically, when you're trying to make kedusha from one animal to the other animal to do machal the first animal,
right? So I designated Betsy the cow as my carbon, and then I realized that I want to give Sally the cow as my carbon instead. So I say, no problem, I will do a timur, right? I will exchange one animal for the other. So what's the halacha if you try to do that? Bring both, right? Both animals become karbanos. So because the Torah said, you cannot exchange one animal for another. In that context, the Gemara asks, okay, so the Torah said you can't do an exchange. You try to do an exchange, we make both animals karbanos. In general halacha, what happens if the Torah tells you not to do something, and you do it? Does that have legal effectiveness or not? Right. Okay. So the way that it's called in the Gemara is kol milsa dam rachmana lo tavid. Anything that Hashem told you, don't do. E avid mahani o lo mahani. If you did it, does it work or does it not work? So Rava and Abaye argue about this. Rava says it does not work, and Abaye says it does work. The Gemara spends two blocks trying to figure out what case they actually argue about. And in the end, the Gemara says, oh, Rav and Abaye argue about whether shinoi kone or eno kone. When the thief changes the object, does his changing the object give him ownership or not? So the Torah told you don't steal, right? So if I steal anyway, and does that work to give me ownership of the object or not? Rava says doesn't work. Abaye says it does work. So the Nesivo says there's one problem with this Gemara, which is, in Shas, how do we pass on Abaye or Rava?
Rava.
We always pass on like Rava, except for six cases, right? The famous Ya'al Kigam. And this is not Yud Ayin Lamed Kaf Gimel Ormen. So if Rava ends up saying, since you can't do anything the Torah tells you not to do, it doesn't work, therefore Shinoi Eino Kone, well, we pass in Shinoi Kone, right? So what on earth is going on? So the Nesiva says, right, it must be that they're arguing about a detailed case within the world of Shinoi. What is that going to be? That's going to be if it's what we call a Shinoi Shechozer Libriyaso. It is a temporary Shinoi, right? It's a Shinoi which is going to go back to its original state, right? So, for example, I make the cow fat in a way that it could become skinny. Again, as an example of a Shinoi Chozer Libriyaso. So how does this help him, and why do we care? So let's just go inside and read the Nesivos for 10 minutes. Starting from, I guess, the second patch of underlines with Ufizeh. Right? I can read it if you guys want. So it says the Nesivos, Ufizeh. L'rava d'svirle i'avid lo mahani, afilu b'yadayim lo kana. Right? So Rava who says that if you do something Torah says not to do, it doesn't work. So even if I change something with my hands, it should not be effective. I shouldn't acquire the object. Lekach, anan, right? What about us? The kaimolam kir Rava. We rule like Rava, because Rava beats Abaye. The iyavet lo mahani. Lekach, v'shine hechozer, afil v'shine biyadayim nami lo kana. Right? So if I change it temporarily, it's not going to have effectiveness. It's not going to work. Mitam kol melos adam rachmana lo tavid. V'hainu. Sha'over b'shad m'shane gamkin alav de lo tigzol dehevi gezele mechadash. So the Nesivos works in here. Wait a second. If the Gemara is applying don't do what the Torah said not to do to Shinoi, did the Torah ever said don't change stolen objects? No, the Torah said don't steal. So how could the Gemara assume that don't steal applies to changing the object? Right, I stole it, you know, a week ago. Now I'm doing a shinoi. You're gonna call that kol milsa dam rachmana lo tavid? A week ago, as the Torah said not to do. Right, but I stole it already. Now I'm just changing the object. There's no aver against changing the object. So Nesiva says, oh, we see from here that this is a gezela mechadash. When I change it, I am doing a new theft, and therefore the Gemara can call that kol milsa dam rachmana lo tavid because I am stealing it again. Right, Kamosha Kaza Rashi and Iskarla Il, right? He likes our Rashi a lot. The Ain Lomar Dahad Amar Bishas Hatam Bishinoi Dehu Mishum the Amrachman al Tavid al Guf Hagzeilam Rinam. Don't tell me that when the Gemara was saying, right, oh, don't do what the Torah said not to do, it meant the original theft from last week. Amishum Dehevik Ilu Lo Gazla, and we'll say, right, your theft never happened, right? You can't do what the Torah said, so it's as if you never stole the object. Dehevik Ilu Nishtana Bebeis Hanigzal, right? And the Shina happened in the ownership of the original guy. Because if I'm going to say that when the Gemara said that Shinoi means, it's something of Tarsa not to do, is talking about the original theft, and the original theft has no effectiveness, then all Shinuyim shouldn't be effective, right? Even permanent Shinuyim, and we know that's not the case. We paskin that Shinoi is effective normally. Right? And what about all the Kenim? Like we were mentioning a minute, you know, a few minutes ago. Right? If the owner gives up on his object, or if I change not the physical property, but I change the name of the object, as we'll talk about more. Ela al karachach, right, the second class underline, to kinyan shel gazela, keyman shehu rak lechayev hagazlan, ubal karcho rachmana hiknele, right? The Torah recognizes the kinyanim of the gazlan. Why? Because the gazlan's going to get in trouble for his new kinyanim. Because what happens to the gazlan since he now has made a new kinyan at T2, right? He's going to have to pay based on the new, impressive, expensive value of the barrel of wine. So, and when the Torah tells you that kinyanim happen, lo shayach lemeimar de lo mahani, right? You can't say that, you know, something that you do doesn't work, and the Torah says that it does work. So, you know, people elaborate more in detail that you can't say kol melech rachman lo mahani when it's just reality, right? If I steal an object, so stealing the object is, that's just what happened, right? I stole the object, and that will have ramifications for me. You can't say that I didn't steal the object if it is now sitting in my possession. What you can say is that maybe a certain kind of shinoi isn't going to have legal effectiveness since Torah said you're not supposed to be doing this, right? And so since a shinoi shenechoz l'riyaso, a temporary shinoi, are we going to call that an objective change? No, it's not an objective change. Give it a week. It's going to go back to its previous state. So since it's not an objective change, it's only going a temporary one, therefore we will say that legally this is not recognized as a shinoi. A permanent shinoi, that, I stole it, right? That's just reality. If I steal an object, if I change an object, that's reality. Reality means that something new is here, and therefore there's going to be a kinyan. But if it's only a temporary change, that's only in the legal realm, right? In the objective reality realm, it's going to go back to what it was a week ago, and therefore your kinyan is in your kinyan is ineffective.
Why does objective reality mean a kinyan?
Why does objective reality mean a kinyan? Objective reality means the theft occurred.
Why is that implied kinyan though? The whole point of the kinyan.
So what you'll probably say is if I can, as we said, right? The Torah didn't prohibit kinyan. The Torah prohibited theft. So if I can deny the theft, then I can deny the kinyan. If I cannot deny the theft, I cannot deny the kinyan. Stealing an object, changing an object, is objectively theft. A temporary change is not an objective theft. It may only be a legal theft.
Why?
What? Why? Because just in terms of reality, right? The object was in his yard. I moved into my yard. That's an objective change. The cow had four legs. The cow now has three legs. That's an objective change. Making the cow a little bit fatter, since it can return to its previous state, I can't call that an objective change in the object.
You can always move the object back, though. So why is like stealing in general an objective change?
Good question. I'm not sure.
So most people consider most people talk about objective change and stealing it, like moving the object. You're talking about here about shinoi and changing the object.
Yeah, I'm talking about can we call this because not yeah the question of theft is this a real action? Is this an objective action? We should say stealing is an objective action. Changing is an objective action. A temporary change is not an objective action because give it a minute, it's going to go back, right? Like if I poke a hole in Jell-O, it'll just go back to its previous state.
Is Shinoi
Chodesh
something that will go back to its previous state, or can?
Let's say for now, will. But it's a good question.
Okay.
Like if you credit, or if you like share right. The sheep.
Right.
Or like
right.
Painted it with a temporary dye.
Exactly. As opposed right. to if I put on a few pounds of weight, which could.
But that just helps the problem with the.
Yeah, 100%. Finally, Nasiva says in the bottom, right, this last underline where he drives our point home, right, where he says that that if the right if you od nera de'im hasheni gaz l'manasa yeshtamish ba denasa shalosh midasa v'gazim shalbaylim v'dafka kashalosh shimish rak ikva biyada v'lo hosif al gzela shal rishon, right? When is a new theft called theft? When you are hosif al gzela shal rishon. I did something to distance you from your object. I stole it. And now I make a shinoi. I stole it, and now I drink it. That is how the Nasivos defines theft. Once he defines theft as distancing the owner from his object, as opposed to taking the object from the owner's possession, that allows him to say that I can have a second theft, which will explain our case very well. Because Rav Chaim says, right, the ksos makes no sense, because how can you pay kfel, dalid, and hay based on the action at T2? You don't pay kfel, dalid, and hay because you're a mazik. You pay kfel, dalid, and hay because you're a ganav. So if I'm making him pay based on T2, then it must be that it's because I'm stealing the object at T2. Rav Chaim has a couple more proofs for this. One is cool, we'll do it at the end, and one is a little less cool.
Is it just so impossible that you pay at T2? Because nothing we've read says that you pay KFL at T2.
Correct, the Rambam says you pay KFL at T2. Okay. Excellent. The Rambam says that. For a client, that's all you need. So two more nafka mina that we have from this. Number one, we have a halacha in the world of Nezikin that the damager, right? So if the damager kills your cow, right? So he owes you $100. So as part of the $100 package, he can give you the rotting carcass of your animal that he stole, right? Shamin le nizak. So he can give that back to you. That is not the case over here when in the case of theft. When it comes to theft, you've got to pay him in full. I can't give him the shards of the shards of the wine barrel as part of the payment. Asks the Rav Chaim why, right? If this is a mazik, then he should compensate you based on nezikin. Must be that he's paying you exclusively as a thief, and therefore he's got to give you all the stuff. He's got to pay you, and he can't. We won't take into account the value of the barrel as part of a discounted rate. Finally, last one, which is explicit in the Rishonim, and that's his Ritva and Ksuvos Lamadal Amadal. So we have a halacha called Kimle Bedrav Mine, right? Which is if I do two averos at the same time, and one is a capital crime, I will be putter for the other one. So the Gemara in Ksuba says that if someone steals a cow on Shabbos and then carries it out of the possession of the victim, right? So since he violated Shabbos by schlepping out the cow, he is pater from being a thief, because, right, that's kimle bedrav mine par excellence. So the Gemara, though, says, give me one second, right, so the Gemara says, right, if you steal the cow and shaft it on Shabbos, you'll be pater from all the penalties, because because shechting, when I shecht someone's cow, what did I do? On one hand, I incurred the chiyuv of dal v'hei, but at the same time, I violated Shabbos by shechting the cow. So Rishonim ask, why do you have to say I stole it? I shechted it on Shabbos. Why not say I shechted it on Tuesday? Say I stole it on Sunday. I shechted it on Tuesday. But since I only was a thief on Sunday, on Shabbos, right? Kimli Ramine, I never actually stole it, and therefore I should be pater from Dal Behe, right? If I shecht someone's cow in his yard without stealing it, I don't pay Dal Behe. So since I was a Kimli Ramine when I stole it, I should be pater even if I shecht it on Tuesday, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So says the Ritva, right? It's black on white. He says, Rashi says this. We don't have it in Rashi. So says the Ritva, no. If you shecht it on Tuesday, that is a second geneva, right? I am, like we said over here, I am re-stealing your object. We'll apply the lundus of the nesivos because I am distancing the owner from his object, right? It had been he was going to get his cow back. Now he's not getting his cow back. He's only getting I have to pay him instead. So therefore, since I'm distancing him from his object at point A when I stole it and at point B when I shecht it, you are also considered a ganav at point B, and therefore, if he shechted it on Tuesday, he would have had to pay dal v'hei, even though he stole it on Shabbos, right? So that is another nafkamina to the question of whether you're a ganav or a mazik. Okay, shkach, guys.